Live from Columbus, Ohio, it's the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Good morning, podcast audience.
And those who listen via Facebook. This is Ken Hodge, your podcaster, that there's an issue.
You're listening to the Ken Hodge Postal
that
Podcast.
I'm going to stay on top of on my show. And that issue is not having additional leave hours available for any postal employee who has already used the initial hours of COVID leave. I think that that needs to be addressed immediately. You see, this is, we're talking about the COVID environment. This is right now. This is live. This is what's going on every day. And not to put additional leave hours for any individual who has already used their 80 hours of emergency sick leave, there must be additional hours, and I guess administrative leave would be the most quickest or the easiest way. But that has to be made available to postal employees. And I think right now, if we do nothing, so many employees are affected by this right now today that it would be a travesty on our part. I recognize there is a major glitch in the Postal Service's issuance of administrative leave because they're taking a position it only applies to contact tracing. Well, listen, and you've heard it yesterday, you're going to hear it again tomorrow. How can you have contact tracing without the contact person? See, the post office is moving that person, the contact person, away and then starting a trace.
Making them use their own leave.
I'm simply saying we have to unite as employees or of the United States Postal Service and get this changed expeditiously.
One of the main reasons I'm so adamant about this issue is you got to remember we're asked to work expanded work hours. Fatigue sets in. And when I'm talking about expanded work hours and fatigue, I say that in relation to if the post office won't pay for additional COVID leave hours for the person, the contact person, then what's going to happen is the contact person is going to come to work. Most people don't have the means to stay home without a check coming in. So that contact person is going to be forced to come to work. And you know the ventilation inside our post offices. So you have fatigue with a contact person at work. It just sets up for a very nasty or ugly scenario. So United States Postal Service, I hope you hear this, and I hope you make it clear to all the local post offices, the districts, or however they're broken up right now or divided right now, make it clear that that contact person has the opportunity or administrative leave will be offered to that person as well. I'm going to move on to another topic, and that is the new employees that Columbus, Ohio hired around this holiday season. Some are holiday employees, but I'm talking about the MHAs that are going to stay. How is it? In the post office, they crack me up when they get upset at employees who were never bought into the system in the manner in which the system prescribes. And what I mean by that is you have new employees assigned to a section for their entire probationary period, and the section does not have a supervisor. Somebody tell me, where's the logic in that? And I'm speaking about that because I hope Columbus, Ohio, in particular, hears this and make adjustments to that. You set yourself up to have an employee who went 90 days, no supervision, very minimal guidance, and then later down the road, when they become accustomed to what it is they did during their probationary period, you want to have a problem with them. When you get accustomed to working every day with no supervision, there's no instructions, no follow-up instructions, when you get moved to an area where now that no longer exists, you have a supervisor, that's an uncomfortable work environment that the United States Post Office created. But yet, the employee is going to have to take the blame for it. And when I say blame, any disagreements between that employee and that supervisor, it's probably going to end up in a PDI with that employee getting some type of discipline. When, if you go back to the initial introduction into the post office, they failed that employee. Now it becomes what some people consider a problem employee.
Let's talk mail rotation in the building. I think it's horrible. And the sad part is, customers will be waiting for mail that's in the post office, and newer or more recent incoming mail will get processed before that mail that's already in the building.
Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The manner in which Columbus, Ohio rotates their mail right now, it forces mail to be processed later, and newly arrival mail to be processed not in what we consider first in, first out rotation. Incoming mail that comes into the building off of a trailer, a lot of times will go from that trailer to the processing area or to the processing staging area. That mail will be left there, or that mail will be retrieved from there before mail that's been in the building for a day or so already. And I'm telling you, this happens with consistent regularity. And to the employee, I say, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Find a place to put the mail. To management, I say, your inability to manage or supervise better rotation with mail coming in that building definitely needs to be addressed if we want to provide a better product to our customer. And just brainstorming on ideas, one way that that could possibly happen, and that would be when incoming trailers come into the post office, Columbus Post Office, if that is not a turnaround trailer, which means it has to be unloaded immediately, then you let it sit for a minute. You ensure all the priority mail that's in the building is already distributed to the machines, and then you bring in the newly arrived mail into a staging area. See, if you do that, and I know that's going to take a lot of coordination and leadership, which will probably be the main problem why it won't happen in Columbus, Ohio. But if you did that, now you assure your customer that first in, first out is the name of the game that we're playing in Columbus, Ohio. When I say first in, first out, of course, I'm taking into consideration different classes of mail. Priority mail should always move before your standard mail. So when I say first in, first out, believe me, I'm taking that into consideration.
And while I'm on my I think I know operations mode of thinking, I would ask the post office, have you ever considered just taking your bundle sorter and dedicating it to one class of mail? For example, bundle sorter on all three tours, you run designating mail. You ensure that there is no designating mail in the building. And when I say all three tours, again, tour one, tour two, and tour three, bundle sorter, that's your mission. That's one class of mail we can now not put so much focus on because it's dedicated to an area and to a machine. And you can take your apps and continue to use your apps in a multifunctional capacity, meaning they can go to states, they'll do all your bundles. And if you dedicate equipment or machinery to just that type of run, what's going to happen is you're going to allow for better or more efficient utilization of the equipment, empty equipment, hampers, cages, Gaylords that are on the machines. Now they're dispatching when they're full
and you have a constant rotation rather than dispatching one or two pieces in a box and then looking for new equipment. It just makes a lot of sense. And if anybody in the post office thinks that makes sense, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to visit them.
And with respect to the SPSS running Zackle Mail, well, I'd probably have a conversation with the Pooms and explain to them that that more definite breakdown is not going to happen for a while. So you might want to pick up one or two extra employees to sort that mail when it comes into your office. Now, this week or next week, regardless of what the actual date is, it's still probably a month too late. The Christmas annex should open up and go into operation. Now, with that going into operation, they're going to take the bulk of NMOs, non-machinable outs, your big pieces. So if you're a group leader on especially the universal sorter, you want to make sure all that mail is not coming into your area. It's being flowed back to the annex. So you eliminate that that work requirement from the people that work with you. Because you got to remember, some of the people who are there with you every day won't be, because they'll be at the Christmas cut. So let's make sure we continue to send all that mail to the Christmas cut. I mean, unless, you know, management has one of those really bright ideas and decide to keep it in Columbus because it's there, keep it at Citygate because it's there. But that's the purpose of what that Christmas cut is designed to do. And if, as employees now, because I would hope management would be on top of it, but let's keep it 100. You have to make sure we're flowing that mail back, so that since they sent the people there to work it, let's make sure we do our part for our fellow employee and send that mail down there so they can work it. I think if management lives up to what they are responsible for, which is positive leadership, we can make the best of what will be an extremely heavy package mailing season. But again, it just tickles me that postal management can make hundreds of bad decisions daily. And then when the crises come, you hear, we all have to pull together and do our part. Well, what about your part? Because postal management, had you done your part, the emergency situation wouldn't exist. So you have a corporation creating an emergency situation and then getting inside their feelings, for lack of a better phrase, because employees are not responding with additional discretionary effort. And I just want to touch this topic real quick, and then I'm going to shut this podcast down for this morning. I spoke with the plant manager about a week or two ago in regards to that big open floor space that the robots, the VGVs, utilize to continually charge their battery. Well, at that time, plant manager wanted to bring the VGVs on the tour too. Well, since I hope it's obvious that that's not going to happen, because with all the mail you have in that building, you have mail in aisleways. Yeah, they're kind of OSHA violations, but you have mail blocking doors. But the point is, you're not going to be able to free up enough space for those robots to travel freely. So rather than just allow that space to sit there for whoever starts to fill it up first, why not designate that area as a holding area for mail, which goes back to my earlier topic, allowing the employees to have access or a system that will give you first in, first out when it comes to mail processing. See, right now that space is just there, and whoever starts to fill it with whatever type of mail, that's what that area becomes. Well, designate it for a specific type of mail, and it will help you. It'll help you identify where your mail is. You see, if you're running priority mail, you should not have to ride that entire building, looking for every nook and cranny where there's a space available to stuff mail. Designate areas for mail. Again, ensure that the mail is being put where you designated, because if you know where all your mail is, it's going to increase the probabilities of a, uh-oh, we missed the pallet, we missed the hamper, we missed a Gaylord. Simple management.
But again, therein lies a problem. For whatever reason, Columbus, Ohio believes there's no need to put supervisors in all their areas. Hey, listen, my name is Kenny Hodge, and this is the Kenny Hodge Opinionated Postal Podcast. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.